to national racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
I'm Kim Cartwright. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian expects a robust and at times heated debate at a Liberal Party reform convention in Sydney today. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has urged the convention to back changes to party rules which would ensure grassroots members have a greater say on candidates and policy. Ms Berejiklian has also thrown her weight behind the idea of plebiscites to select candidates for state and federal seats, but she said she understood members had different ideas as to how this could be achieved. Finance Minister Matthias Cormann's former Chief of Staff has been selected to fill the Federal Senate vacancy left by retiring Liberal Chris Back. The WA Liberals announced Slade Brockman as West Australia's next Federal Senator. Mr Brockman, who ran unsuccessfully for a Senate spot in the 2013 election, edged out several other candidates, including former WA Parliament Speaker Michael Sutherland. He holds a Bachelor of Laws from the University of New England and worked as Senator Cormann's Chief of Staff from 2008 to 2013. Mr Brockman was a policy director for the Pastoralists and Graziers Association of WA and a farm manager before that. An Adelaide man has been charged with child sex offences dating back to the 70s. The 66-year-old man from the city south was arrested on Saturday and charged with three counts of indecent assault and one count of sex with a child. It's alleged the offences date back to 1976. He's been bailed to appear at Christie's Beach Magistrates Court on August 29. Overseas, and the Syrian military has declared that it has ceased hostilities in parts of a major opposition stronghold on the edge of Damascus. It follows an announcement that the government's ally Russia has struck a deal with rebels in the area. The BBC's Alan Johnston has more.
All through Syria's war, an area called Eastern Ghouta has been an important rebel bastion. It lies on the outskirts of Damascus, and fighters there have been in constant conflict with the army. Civilians have endured great hardship. But now the army says it has halted its operations with regard to at least parts of Eastern Ghouta. Earlier, the Russians said they'd struck a deal with rebels there. According to Moscow, the agreement involves the creation of a safe zone. Monitors will be deployed to oversee a de-escalation in the fighting.
To the US, and President Donald Trump has attended the commissioning of a new aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald Ford. He described the vessel as a 100,000-ton message to the world.
Wherever this vessel cuts through the horizon, our allies will rest easy and our enemies will shake with fear, because everyone will know that America is coming, and America is coming strong.
Back home, and an 82-year-old man is dead and a 75-year-old is in hospital in a critical condition after a truck crashed into a front yard in Sydney's west. Police say it's believed the truck clipped a car on Burnett Street in Maryland early yesterday afternoon before veering into the front yard, hitting the two men. Also in news, John Hurd, best known as Peter McAllister in the Home Alone movies, has died aged 72 in California. And a fisherman has drowned after being swept off the rocks at Merry Beach on the New South Wales south coast. This is AIR News. Jordan Spieth has stolen Brandon Grace's thunder to take command of the British Open and close in on his own slice of golf history at Royal Birkdale. Grace became the first man in major championship history to shoot 62 with a magical 8-under par round as golf's biggest names upped the ante in pursuit of the coveted claret jug. But Spieth stood firm, extending his halfway lead to three strokes with a nerveless bogey-free 5-under 65 to continue his march towards a rare career slam. The 2015 Masters and US Open winner and reigning Australian Open champion is three clear of Ryder Cup teammate Matt Kuchar. Defending champion Nick Kyrgios has withdrawn from next week's Atlanta hardcourt event, with the Australian citing a strained right hip. The world number 20 has not played since a first round Wimbledon retirement after two sets. Kyrgios said that he still plans a return in a week at Washington, adding he will be ready to play the US Open starting August 28. The Canberran won the Atlanta title last year when he beat American John Isner in the final. As a result of his absence, his ranking is expected to drop around five places on the ATP list. Briefly, wins to the Panthers, Cowboys and Storm in the NRL, and Essendon, Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, Sydney and Hawthorn in the AFL. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. 22, sunny, areas of frost in the west early this morning. Winds west to northerly 20 to 30 kilometres an hour. And for all those radical dudes out there that want to go surfing, the surf conditions this morning are hazardous. So be careful down in Thredbo. Unsurprisingly, Jared, it's cold.
Yeah,
1 degree.
But a beautiful... in Thredbo, absolutely. I'd love to be there on the slopes. But, yeah, I saw the surf. Went for a walk along the coast there last night. It was huge. Mm. Huge. And there are a few thrill seekers out there in their wetsuits. Well, you're going to be in your wetsuits, aren't you? But no, it was enormous, the surf, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of thrill seekers out there again today.
Sky Sports Radio can be taken anywhere, anytime. Crystal clear. Sky Sports Radio is available through the Tab app plus the Radio Industries Radio app. Whether you're at home, work, the races or travelling, make sure Sky Sports Radio is a part of your racing day.
All covers, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. And for over 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So if you want the official watch of your NRL team or engagement and wedding rings, corporate gifts, all types of remodelling and repairs, Z&Z's your place. See Z&Z at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au.
Proud sponsors of the St George Junior Referees.
And they're off and racing.
Group Racing returns to Rose Hill Gardens.
Watch Sydney's best as they return to the track to begin their spring carnival campaign. With gourmet trackside dining options available and stunning views of the home straight and winning post, your guests will have a winning day at Rose Hill Gardens. Hospitality packages start at only $99. Find out more at www.theatc.com.au.
Become the most prolific goal kicker in Premiership history, Cameron Smith. And he sends it over. And this wonderful player has kicked more goals than anyone else. 943 now.
Silence Edition going to first seal. Dixie Blossoms first play. They're heading top gear now. Fox Play and Dixie Blossoms. Zambar with the last shot. Fox Play hits the lead from the fast finishing Zambar, and Fox Play takes it out.
Here's the last. It goes to the left foot of Elgin.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Don't change your wireless. It's not Jimmy Smith. I'm not Jimmy Smith. He's not Ray Thomas either, and I'll introduce him in a second. But it's a huge, huge, huge weekend of sport. We've seen rugby league last night, Melbourne v Canberra. Ricky Stewart, he's gone off like a frog in a sock. He's blown up at the referees. And quite frankly, from what I saw last night, and the NRL's come out and said it, Sia Soliola, Jesus, he's lucky to be left on the field after that. We've got the ACA and the Cricket Australia people. They're still warring again. There was a meeting and another meeting and a meeting after that one again. And we thought we were going to get there, but doesn't appear so. Appears to be just meetings with no result whatsoever. The Swans, they tailed up St Kilda last night. And a name that is synonymous with AFL, Callum Sinclair. There's a name everyone's heard of before. He kicked 5. Buddy in the background. The Tour de France, it's about to finish. We've got big games of rugby league. Not to mention when we go over there to England, you see the British Open going on. And Jordan Spieth, well, he's miles in front. And, well, Matt Kuchar, he's a chance, but Jordan Spieth, he's going to have to play very, very ordinarily to get beaten. Nick Kyrgios, he's withdrawn again. That's not a surprise to anyone after his poor old hip incident over there in England. But plenty of sport to get through today. 13:53:53 is the open line number if you want to join us. And, well, they call him a ladies' man. And he's a ladies' man, quite frankly. Jared Middleton from Tabs with me today as Jimmy and Ray, well, they're on strike.
Where did you get that from anyway? Great to
I'm
be
just
with
looking
you.
At you. Look, you're a ladies man. Mate, tell me you're not.
Well, I'm wearing tracksuit pants, for goodness sake. We're not on TV,
it
so
is,
I can
it
say
is 7
that.
O'clock in the morning. Come on.
Mate, great to work with you. Great to be here and talk sport for 3 hours. How good. And we encourage all our listeners to get involved this morning. That SMS number 0419767. I'll go again. 0419767272. Please send us through your thoughts. Now, I want to embarrass you first up. Look, I saw an article of Alistair Cook the other week naming the three toughest bowlers he's faced in his career. He named a couple of Pakistanis, Mohammad Amir, Mohammad Asif, and Stuart Clark got a run. Stuart Clark was a more difficult bowler to face than Glenn McGrath, Shane Warne, and various other champions.
Yeah, look, and quite frankly, correct. Well done, Alistair Cook. Obviously, he knows his stuff. He gets that sort of stuff right all the time, but... what people fail to realise is he was about 12 years old when I played against him. So I was 30 and he was 12 and I got him out a few times. But I did read that the other day and people were tweeting me and saying, what do you think about this? And I said, well, pretty good, I suppose. I said, can't really remember a lot about what happened. It's that long ago. But look, he's gone on to be obviously England's finest run-getter. And it's nice to be put into that sort of... caliber, but
you got him 5 times in what 7 tests, and I think you played.
I said he was 12 years old, mate. Like, you just kept missing him.
He was probably playing his best cricketer when he was younger, anyway. Look, and he was in that series where you beat them 5-0 as well, wasn't it? So you had him at a good time. But there you go, mate. You're amongst the elite company there, to say the least.
Yeah, look, it was a nice thing for him to say, and I haven't seen him for a while, but I'll send that check in the mail a little bit later on so he can give me a rap. I want to go quickly over to the golf before we talk about some of this other stuff in here. Jordan Spieth, he's played some beautiful golf over there in tough conditions over there at Royal Birkdale, and got himself well and truly into the lead now. And Jordan Spieth, he goes through periods where he can fall off the back of the wagon, you know, without sort of using the wrong connotation to that phrase, but... he's at minus 11 at the moment. He shot 65, 69, 65, and he leads by 3 over Matt Kuchar, with Austin Connolly running a further 3 back. So you would have thought it's those two going down the wire tonight when you flick on the TV. And the British Open, just the conditions make it so tricky, and the guys are not used to it. Coming over there from America, where you hit the ball and it stops, you hit the ball and it stops. Here, the ball, if you get it down the wrong path, it just rolls and rolls and rolls. And I love the British Open. Obviously, the Masters is my favourite golfing tournament, but this one here, just the conditions.
Oh, well, the conditions, exactly. I mean, it's just going to be a mental game, isn't it, for Jordan coming into the last round? I mean, we've seen him have a couple of meltdowns in majors when he's been ahead, and we've seen him pull away as well. I think he's 2-2 when he's led at the halfway point of a major. And, we saw him have a bad meltdown in one of the Masters a couple of years ago, but look, the market, we're cuddling him at tab.com.au. $1.25. Heading into the final round, 3 shots clear. I mean, we know it can all change in one hole, particularly in those conditions.
Absolutely.
Our bookie's well and truly respecting him, but that's probably due to the fact that we're standing him on the edge of a cliff and we're going to lose a fortune should he come out and win. So,
Look, he's it's going to be hard. Matt Kuchar, he's played some good golf too, as I've said. But, look, it's a tough, tough game. And it's good to see professionals battle like I battle when I turn up to the golf course and hit them left and right and bit in the wind. It just makes me feel a little bit better. Last night, Ricky Stewart, he went off, like I said, like a frog in a sock. But the tackle on Billy Slater, and the NRL have come out and said, they've made a statement this morning or last night saying that, look, it had all the attributes to what is required to send a player off. Tony Archer's come out, he's been very strong. They chose not to do it, obviously, on the night, but... if you're not going to send that off...
Well, it's nearly 2 years, Stewie, in the NRL since there's been a send-off. And, look, it was reckless, careless. The one mitigating circumstance in the tackle is the fact that Billy Slater was falling.
Yeah.
And, I know, but still, he clocked him around the jaw or clocked him on the side of the head and he got knocked out and had to go off the field. And, it looks like he probably could miss that next week as well under the concussion protocols. But, look, he was falling. It looks worse in slow motion. I'm not saying it shouldn't have been a send-off, but you just got to look at all those circumstances.
You certainly do. Now, a couple of other notable injuries out of that game. Cameron Smith, he strained a pec.
This is a big story because the Storm have been running away with it, really.
Yeah.
And Cameron Smith, I mean, he doesn't miss too much footy over the course of his career. He's missed very little. He missed that grand final, of course, when he was suspended and Manly beat them 40-0. But other than that, I mean, Cameron Smith hasn't been out for much of a period of time at all over his career. So he could be out for 4 to 6 weeks, maybe, a pec injury. Pec injuries can end up being worse than they feel, players say. So this is one that they'll be sweating on this scan, to say the least.
Yeah, and conversely, they can actually be quite serious, because if you have to have surgery, it's pretty much, you know, 6 to 9 months type stuff. Mm. It's like a knee reconstruction if you tear a pec. So he's obviously a big loss, being the best player in the game. He's a big loss for Melbourne. He's a big loss for the World Cup team, which happens at the end of the year. So there's plenty going on there. Also, other bit of injury news I read last night. James Maloney's got a broken hand.
Needs surgery.
He needs surgery. So I read a story last night that said potentially 3 weeks, but I don't know a lot of broken hands that heal. You know, having broken a finger or two in my time playing cricket, 3 weeks is usually very, very quick. But, you know, football players, I get it. Maybe they're a bit tougher than the old cricketers. Well, that's a big dent in Cronulla's loss. So let's wait and see.
Now, big story today. Phil Rothfield from the Sunday Telegraph has said that Laurie Daly will retain his position as New South Wales coach next year. It's been some fallout, Stewie. We're now a week and a half since the end of Origin 3. I mean, with 11 losses in 12 years, I mean, there's always fallout after Origin, but this one this year seems to just have really bitten a bit longer. I mean, in your capacity as the Chief Operating Officer of the New South Wales Rugby League, I mean, can you give us can you firstly react to this story, the fact that Laurie Daly, will he retain his position as coach?
Oh, look, this is one of those. I make it very clear that I don't get involved in the football stuff, and I choose to stay out of it. I've chosen to stay out of it, but I can tell you, it's been very, very hard reading everything during the week. You've got some of the greats of rugby league, New South Wales rugby league, and you know, you don't have to work out who that. You don't have to think too hard to work out who that is. But look, it hurts as much as, you know, I never played, so it's very hard to know what the players go through. But as an organisation, we're pretty down at the moment, and I'd be disappointed if we weren't. You know, and that goes from David Trodden, through to the CFO, through to, you know, the head of football, BJ Mather, to, you know, when you read this stuff and you read what people are saying and you start seeing cultural, that word culture comes up, it makes it very, very hard. The only thing I will say is there's a lot being made at the moment of, you know, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do that. The problem with doing it so soon is you make decisions based on emotion, you know, and we're all hurting after getting beaten. Now, no one more so than the players. We're not going to make emotional decisions. There's a few articles in there. There will be a review. That'll be done by Laurie Daly in the football department. David Trodden will be involved. The board will be involved, given that, you know, they're a very strong board with some of the biggest names in rugby league on it. It'll all happen. But it'll all happen in a given time. And there won't be sort of, oh, we're going to do this and that. And when it's all done and said, people will know what the answer is. It's just not going to happen overnight. And I don't think it should, be fair. Decisions like this, when it comes to Laurie Daly, who... Obviously, he's got some serious issues, but he's very, very disappointed. He's been in the office a couple of times, and you know, it hurts. It really does, because he's arguably one of the greatest ever New South Wales players. So,
how do you respond though to these attacks that there's a culture problem in the Blues side or the Blues setup?
You read it and you go. I sort of probably know more than most what's going on behind the scenes. It's some of the guys that are working with some of the players, and that's a program. And you'll read about that more so when the review's done. It's probably not right for me to comment on it, but I don't agree with it, only because I see what goes on. Look, I'm not involved in the team and what goes on. I don't go up to Kingscliff. I don't go into Origin camp before. I usually turn up on the day and watch. But I know some of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and I think... Yeah, it's probably, yeah, more will come out about that over the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months.
Do you have an opinion on the Blake Ferguson, Josh Dugan scenario? I mean, the league came out and cleared them during the week. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I played in an era of cricket where, you know, I'd have a beer before the night of the game. Probably when I was younger, probably two or three beers. I think, given the circumstances, both of them have come out and said it's an error in judgment, and I don't disagree with that. But did they do anything horribly wrong? Were they drunk and intoxicated? Or not that I'm aware of. I haven't got it. And, you know, I can sit here and say, oh, well, it's the not the worst thing anyone's done. It's the look. Perception's the reality, isn't it? And it's the look of it. So, you know, both of them, I'm sure they both feel pretty bad about what happened. The easy part, and I'll say this, the easy part for them is they can go back to club football. get on with it. Ferguson for the Roosters, Dugan for the Dragons, Garrett there, play, they have a great game. The hard part for New South Wales Rugby League and Laurie Daly is he's got to wait 11 months.
Yeah, exactly.
He can't do anything about it. So, anyway.
Well, Blake Ferguson was asked after the game, the Roosters game the other night, whether, you know, he'd do it again. He said probably not. So
yeah, and I think that's the answer. I think, and it's easy to look at it in hindsight, and everyone's going to have their thoughts and comments. We've read quite a few of them during the week, and, you know, they're from respected people, so you've got to sit back and you've got to go, well, they're respected people in the game. Yeah. They're allowed to have a say.
Okay, let's get on to this stoush between Cricket Australia and the players. Now, where do we stand on this, Stewie? Because this bores me, to be honest. This really, really bores me. You just want them to get on the field and play cricket. But this is now getting really serious because we're getting into, well and truly, in the back end of the calendar year, and there's an Ashes series on the horizon and a tour of Bangladesh.
Well, my mail was it was getting close to getting sorted. Now, I picked up the paper today and gone, maybe not. So they were getting to a stage where James Sutherland had come back and got directly involved with the negotiations. And him, between him and Alistair Nicholson, they were starting to get to some, I suppose, middle ground on all of this. Now, picking up the paper today, it appears to have all gone pear-shaped again. Now, there's an emergency meeting today, but can I say, I'm with you. I agree. I'm probably on the player's side with this. The revenue-sharing model works in all sports. I don't understand why cricket's got such an issue with it. I don't know whether we need to get Fair Work Australia involved. They seem to be an arbitrary body that can come down and sit down and have a talk and have a look at all these guys. I think from the players' point of view, it's my understanding, they want to see more information to why they want to change the model that's worked for 20 years. Why does Cricket Australia want to change it? Now, you'll say more to grassroots, and you'll hear that the sort of the taglines come out the whole time. But from what I can see, the players aren't believing it. The players aren't believing it. So let's wait and see. I don't particularly want to talk about it too much because, you know, I'm frustrated as well.
Yeah.
I want to see the Ashes. I don't think they're going to go to Bangladesh. I think that'll get called off.
Right.
Well, I don't think they want to go to Bangladesh, to be fair. Yeah.
That's a huge story. An Australian test side not going overseas because of an internal dispute.
Yeah, it's a massive story. But the players believe they've been wronged and they want their fair share of the revenue model. The question is, if it doesn't come to the players, where does it go? You know, James Sutherland, all those, that you'll hear all those taglines from the players come out. So there's a lot to go. I was really hoping it'd be finished, but it's not. So anyway, look, we'll talk about throughout the show. 1353 53 is the open line number. If you want to get in contact with the program, have your say. If you want to send us an SMS, 0419 767 272. Twitter, I know, at Big Sports Wend is the Twitter handle if you want to get in contact with the program. Jared's all over Twitter this morning. He's been just tweeting up a storm.
I've done one retweet.
that's more than this show ever does. Don't panic too much about it. And we'll take your calls right up to 10 o'clock today. But after the break, Mike Tomalaris from over there in France.
It's been a long year. You've worked hard. Now it's time to treat yourself in Hong Kong. Leaving December 5 with Ambassador Travel, you can be trackside and witness the very best of the equine world class during International Week. All the details are looked after, and it's 5-star the whole way. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday and Sha Tin on Sunday, with our Aussie speedsters hopefully out to conquer the world again in the sprint. There's tours galore, including Macau, or venture to Mission Hills for some golf. In between, grab all the bargains and knock over the Christmas shopping. Call Ambassador Travel now, 1-800-777-989, or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
Excuse me, mate, does the next train stop at Wynyard?
Oh, yeah, it goes all the way to payday, because I just came up with the goods on a 10-leg multi. Stuff the train, we're getting a limo.
Cool, man. You're good to swing by Wynyard, yeah?
With the new Check and Collect feature on your Tab app, you can now check your ticket and collect the winnings anytime, anywhere. Gotta love a public display of betting affection. Tab. We love a bet. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Aiming to create one of the largest research groups ever with 50,000 Australians, Cancer Council has launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study.
If you've not had cancer, other than non-melanoma skin cancer, researchers want to hear from you.
Guys, if you're aged between 40 and 74, sign up today at abcstudy.com.au. It's easy to do and can be done from home in your own time.
So come on, help yourself, your family and future generations in the fight against cancer. abcstudy.com.au.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new Westinghouse, Hitachi and Beko fridges ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We'll take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new Hitachi, Beko or Westinghouse fridge from Bingley and get free full service delivery.
You know when that beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon, so be quick. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, this Tour de France update is brought to you by Amart Sports. Amart Sports, home of the biggest sports brands at the best price.
Well, time to crack on over there to France, which is now the end of the Tour de France. And the man that's been on the ground for 3 weeks straight having a great time is Mike Tomalaris, and he joins us now. Morning, Mike.
G'day, Stuart. G'day, Jared.
Mate, it's all about to come to an end, and Chris Froome, well, he's going to be the winner again.
That's right. It's been one hell of a roller coaster ride this year for Chris Froome. The Tour de France, he says, has been the most challenging of all of his victories. And I've got to say, before I move on, today's penultimate stage, the individual time trial, started and finished in a football stadium, the home ground of the big French club, Olympique Marseille. And there was 40,000 people in the stadium. It was a very unique event. And what made it unique was the fact that, there was a more or less a football-sounding crowd there for a cycling event. And they laid bitumen on the turf so the riders could start and then come back into the stadium after 22 kilometres around the streets of Marseille to finish. And we just saw something very, very different. I mean, the beauty of the tour is that it's held outdoors in the countryside, taking in the width and breadth of Europe, Western Europe. But today it was unique in itself because, as I say, it was held in a football stadium. But Chris Froome is well on his way. He finished third today in the time trial. The winner was a Polish rider, Maciej Bodnar, which really doesn't count for much apart from the fact that he picked up the stage victory. But Chris Froome, well, he was up against Romain Bardet, a French hero, and the Colombian in Rigoberto Urán. Both those guys just couldn't match the power, the strength, and the just domination of Chris Froome. The day started with Froome leading by 23 seconds in the end, and as they go to Paris for the finish, he'll have a 54-second advantage. So quite narrow. I think it's the narrowest of all of his margins, and he's won three times before. But as I say, he says it's the toughest and a tour that he's really had to fight all the way.
Mike, what was the pivotal moment or stage on the tour where Froome really asserted his authority or really clinched his victory?
You know, I can't think of any particular stage, and I'll tell you why. He didn't win a stage. Chris Froome went through the Tour de France. In fact, he hasn't won a race all year. But he has just been consistent. And if you look at the records over the last 20 stages, he's finished in the top 10 more times than not for every stage, never actually winning a stage. And they say, look, you've got to win a stage to quantify your victory in a three-week race like this. Some people might argue the point. But the thing is, he's a complete package. He was there in the mountains, or thereabouts, always near the front of the peloton. He time trialed to third place today. He is the complete package. And by winning this tour, as he will tomorrow when he crosses the finish line, he'll be up there among the greats in Tour de France history. There are only a handful of riders in the history of the tour that have won five. He'll have four tomorrow night when they cross the finish line.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Where does he sit? Obviously, there's some guys that probably don't get counted anymore, but you know, is it Miguel Indurain and is it that sort of ilk we're talking about?
Yeah, we are. Bernard Hinault, the Frenchman from the 70s and 80s, Jacques Anquetil from the 50s and 60s, and Miguel Indurain from the 1990s. And look, there's no reason to believe that he won't do it again next year. He has got a super team around him, a team that invests millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, and he just does everything right. And he's proven it again, a very, very consistent performer. And let's not forget that when the race finishes tomorrow, guys, we're going to have an Aussie on the podium in Michael Matthews. He'll be presented with the green jersey. And that is a very prestigious jersey. Sure, not as prestigious as the yellow, but for a sprinter, that is the pinnacle for any cyclist. And Michael Matthews will be rubbing shoulders with Chris Froome on the podium on the Champs-Élysées tomorrow in front of hundreds of thousands of people on that boulevard and perhaps tens of millions more watching on television. And Michael Matthews will follow in the footsteps of only Robbie McEwen,
yep,
and Baden Cook as the only Australians to snare that very prestigious item of clothing.
Yeah, what a thrill that will be for Michael Matthews. How do you assess the Aussies' performance overall, though, Mike? I know poor old Richie Porte had that crash. How's the future looking?
It's looking good. We were talking about it just tonight, my SBS colleague. Sure, Richie Porte came down, and I reckon Richie would have been knocking on the door of a place on the podium, if not win the Tour de France. That's how determined and prepared he was. And the good thing about Richie is he's already talking about 2018. He's tied up in his home in Monaco, just recuperating from that crash, which brought him down in stage nine, and that was a horrible incident because he revolved his whole year around doing very, very well at the Tour de France. And I honestly believe he could have at least climbed on the podium, if not win it. But next year, Michael Matthews will improve. He will get better and better. There's no reason to believe he can't win a second green jersey. He won two stages in this year's Tour. He had a great 3 weeks. And you know what? You throw in pocket rocket from Bowerl in Caleb Ewan, one of the fastest sprinters going around, and there's every chance he'll make his debut at the Tour de France next year. We've got all bases covered. Richie in the mountains and the time trial, Michael Matthews in the points competition, Caleb Ewan in the sprints. So it looks good for 2018.
The future looks bright for Australian cycling. Mike, as always, mate, your updates have been fantastic for this show and also during the week. Travel safely. Enjoy the last couple of days of France, maybe some more French champagne just to top off your experience. And we'll speak to you again soon, mate.
Champagne, red border,
you know,
on there.
Good on you, Mike. Travel safely, mate.
See you, guys.
There he is, Mike Tomalaris, and I can think of worse things in the world to do, Jared.
Best junket in the world, surely, Stu.
It's got to be.
Covering the Tour de France. No, it would be hard work. You've got to file every day and et cetera, but look, what an amazing event to cover it would be.
Yeah, I've got that on the bucket list.
So Maloney calls it on the left.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, Mike Tomalaris there, living the life over there in France. Now, our talk topic for today, we've had a good one come in, innovations in sport. His was, and he hasn't put his name to this, but, my dad, is jockeyless horse races. No one said they had to be good ones, just innovations in sport. That would be ridiculous, but that's not going to be it, Jared. We're not going to have that. What we're going to have as our talk topic for today, within the absence of Jimmy and Ray, is what sporting event
or match
is worth staying up for.
Or that you got, or even one that you got up for in the middle of the night that you remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the Masters. Do you get up early? Do you get up at 5 in the morning to see them hitting around, knocking around that beautiful golf course? Do you stay up all night watching the British Open? When Federer is playing Nadal in the final, I know that was in Australia, but didn't really stay up. But if they were playing, if it was Wimbledon, would you stay up and watch Federer play Nadal again? I would have stayed up this year, given what I saw at the Australian Open.
I'll give you mine, and it was from when I was a kid. 1990, the Ashes, Rugby League, Australia and Great Britain.
There
you go. Which is probably the best Rugby League Test series in history.
Yes.
And that second test, when Ricky Stewart made the break and Mal Meninga scored the try, Ricky dummied and ran 60 metres and found Mal back on the inside.
Yes.
I think I was 7 years old, and I'll never forget that. That's one of the best sporting matches I've ever seen.
Test football, there you go, from England.
The glory days of rugby league.
Yeah, it was too, wasn't it? So what sporting event would you stay up for, would you get up for? Would you wake up to see, Barcelona play Real Madrid? If that was your
Champions League finals,
if that was your, if that floated your boat, 1353 53 is the open line. I mean, give us a call, have a chat this morning. 0419 767 272 is the SMS number. If you're that way inclined and you want to send us a tweet, at Big Sports Wend is the Twitter handle. We'll take your calls right up to 10 o'clock this morning. We'll also talk a little bit of horse racing with Jared shortly. as we've got Jason Coyle coming up.
Your business premises really needs a fresh fit out, but the bank says no.
You need to move fast, but they still say no.
You haven't got time for paperwork, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Courage under fire. Now standing at Euroby Stud in New South Wales. Progeny eligible for the rich New South Wales bonuses.
Hector JJ, Smolder, nose for nose. Smolder, Hector JJ. Hector JJ, Smolder. Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder for Mark Bird, and the Kiwi has won the Interdominion.
Courage under fire. Standing at Euroby Stud. Visit Euroby.com.au.
It's John Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Haddam is surging at them. John Snow in front. John Snow from Harper's Choice's game. John Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. It was a beautiful day there at Royal Randwick yesterday. We had a 9-race card, and, well, at race one, it was the ATC member for a day handicap over the 1,200 metres and a nice bunch of two-year-olds. And Assimilate got the job done for the Snowdens and Ty England. In fact, the Snowdens had the Quinella there with Dracaris running second. Let's have a listen.
Gretzky on the improve on the outside of Assimilate, and Gresham's the last one coming into the home straight now and commanding witness. Hieronymus really trying to pinch this, comes up the rise, Fallings clear from Colossimo. Dracara starting to dig in. Assimilate's coming off heels and running home well. Commanding witness is just about out, and Dracara's quickly pounces on it with Assimilate the outside. It's Dracaris and Assimilate racing to the lead. Assimilate's getting pretty wide on the track, charging home as Gresham late, but Assimilate and Dracaris, they split it, and Assimilate's just won it. Assimilate narrowly there from Dracaris, and a cracking run by Gresham to get up and run third.
Commanding witness said a bit of a breakneck speed there, and that played into the hands of Assimilate and finished off nicely. And Ty England swung around the bend and pulled it wide on the track, and it got the job done from the inside draw. Now, race number three was the ATC owner benefits card handicap. It was over the 1,100 metres for the fillies and mares, and well, memes for Jason Coyle. Hit the front and never let down.
Memes hugging the rails around the turn from the White Face Clipper, followed by Secret Trail, Nasak Positive Problems, further back to Magic Ali, and Upscales getting to the middle of the track. Memes is staying hard pressed on the fence, leads by a length on Clipper. Memes a length clear from Clipper. Sangiovese working into the clear. Memes in front, but Clipper's digging in. Sangiovese late. It's Memes in front of Clipper. Memes is clinging on and is going to lead all the way. Memes. Memes by 3/4 to Clipper. Sangiovese third. Secret Trail got up the
And we'll talk to Jason Coyle, the trainer of Memes, I think in a little while, but certainly a good run yesterday, and we'll see what he thinks and what's happening moving forward.
Well, Memes 3 from 3 too at Randwick, just loves Royal Randwick, it does, and we go to race 5 now. This was the Schweppes handicap over the 1,200 metres, and Brenton Abdullah, look, he only had 4 rides there yesterday at Royal Randwick. He was on Care to Think for Matty Dunn as well, which was scratched to run at Doomben and won the last there in Queensland. But look, poor Brenton Abdullah, who were up against Hugh Bowman, had just about a full book of rides there, battling for the premiership. And by this stage, race 5, Huey hadn't had a win, so Brenton was still just half a win behind Huey in the race for the premiership, and he was on Argent Jaw, and Hugh was on Spending to Win, which was the heavily tried favourite.
Further back to Parley Vu on the fence, Argent Door behind it. Then Time Out of Mind and Aquatic, the last one. Spending to Win leads up the rise. Bowman still cuddles at it. Chutter Chucks flut to the board from Superstar Bob. Argent Door's making ground. Spending to Win at the 200 metres, a length clear. But Chutter Chuck is sticking on. Argent Door zips back to the inside. It's Chutter Chuck going to Spending to Win. Argent Door flashing home. Abdullah and Bowman, nothing in this. Bob of the Heads. Oh, boy, that's close. Abdullah on Argent Door and Bowman on Spending to Win. They split it together.
Yeah, he got the photo there. He got the bob, Argent Door for Brenton Abdullah. And, well, he let it a few emotions there hang out too after the race.
Can I ask you this, the jockey's premiership? is it a big thing in the jockeys' world? Do they sit there and is it? I know we talk about it a lot as on this radio show and other radio shows and TV shows, but do the jockeys sit there going, geez, I'd love to win the premiership this year?
Just at this time of the year when they're in the mix.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, definitely. To have that on your resume that you've won premiership. Yeah, absolutely. It's something, and you can tell Brenton wants to win it really badly.
We'll ask him
and
about it.
Yeah, exactly, and good on him. So they should. Yeah, it's usually, it becomes a big issue in the last 3 months of the season when see that it's pretty close there at the top.
You'd want to hope they want to win it, because if they're not wanting to win it, it's got some bigger issues if they want to just keep running somewhere other than winning the premiership. So we'll talk to Brenton just before 8 o'clock and get his take on it as well.
Okay, let's go to the feature of the day there yesterday. It was the July sprint over the 1,100 metres, and Boss Lane was the roughie in the field in the end, paying $9. That's how tight the field looked, at least according to the market. And, Andrew Adkins rode for Ronnie Quinton. Felines was heavily tried for Hugh Bowman and Chris Lees. Let's take a listen.
400 out, highly geared, held together. From That's a Good Idea, Bowman's looking to push out on Fairlines. Boss Lane won't give it the run. It's highly geared, That's a Good Idea. Fairlines is spotting a gap, she's taking it now. Boss Lane next, here's a good finish. Fairlines gets the run. Coming down the outside is Petrosian and Cadero. Boss Lane and Fairlines, the outside is Petrosian swapping them. Boss Lane in front, and Boss Lane just got in. Boss Lane from Petrosian. Fairlines couldn't pick up after the buffeting match.
Yeah, won the Winter Dash a couple of starts ago. Boss Lane went to the Ramorny, where it was about six lengths off the winner, Calanda, there. Okay, race nine, let's have a look at it, which is Pelothronius for David Pfeiffer. Swamped them on the outside. Let's take a listen.
Gold Ambition's got them stacked up from Kingsguard. Then Maracabar, Francesco, lay down the law, whipping up on the outside. Right behind the leader, Olympic Academy's going for run on the fence, and Invincible Knights are standing a long run. Up the rise, Kingsguard hits the lead. Invincible Knight the outside. Lay down the law, Francesco, and Pelothronius chiming in. Invincible Knights come from last, but here's Pelothronius right over the top. Pelothronius goes to Invincible Knight, and Pelothronius makes it four in a row. Tangland bookends the card. Pelothronius beat Invincible Knight. Photo for third, Francesco and Admiral
General. Yeah, it was a really nice win. Pelothronius, a really strong run there on the outside over the top. And, 750 with tab fixed odds. But, look, they left it in the bag again there, the punters. Stain was a big, big go for the Snowdens.
Yeah, it certainly was. So, well, Jared, thank you for that. That's Ray's favourite segment.
No doubt.
Mate, Ray just sits there and he just salivates for the three. This show's on for 3.5 hours, 3 hours, and he's just for the 10 minutes. He's, let's get into these races. He's flying through. So, anyway, look, coming up after the break, we'll have a chat to Jason Doyle, the trainer of memes. He's a big Bulldogs fan, by the way, so we'll ask him about that as well. But ask him.
Not going well.
he's thinking about jumping onto some other football team, maybe. But we'll ask him about memes, what's next, and we'll talk to him about yesterday's race as well.
For the past 6 years, Slats and I have told you about the exotic delights of Hong Kong. Now here's your chance to sample the sights and sounds of one of the world's truly great weeks of racing with Ambassador Travel. And do it in five-star style. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday. And on Sunday, you're off to Sha Tin for four Group 1s and the climax of the Turf World Championships. In between, you can shop, cruise the harbour, head to Macau, play golf at Mission Hills, or just relax. Why not extend and take in mainland China? Call Ambassador Travel right now, 1-800-777-989, or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Mum, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
No, Lionel.
No, but there's free delivery, free unpacking, and we'll take away your old washing machine free when you buy any Fisher & Paykel or LG washer from Bingley.
But no free lunch.
No, Mum. Free delivery, free unpacking, and free removal of your old washer.
When you buy any Fisher & Paykel or LG washer from Bingley.
The offer won't last, so be quick. See you in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Remember, Lionel, lunch is not included.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
It's English and Phil Swift fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Lucky enough to be joined by trainer Jason Coyle this Sunday morning. Jason, thanks very much for joining us. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Very well, mate. Now, 3 from 3 at Randwick, this great filly by Time Thief. How's she pulled up?
She's pulled up terrific. She's just had a terrific preparation. Every time we go to the races the next morning, she looks as good as she did the day before. So she continues to go from strength to strength.
And loves bowling along in front. That seems to be her best pattern.
Yeah, probably was early when she started the race. Now Rachel suggested she's quite adaptable now. She'd be happy to take a sit, but if she's left to control the race in front, she obviously looks like a hard filly to run down.
Jason, what's next for Memes?
I don't know. We were sort of, the last couple of runs, we were taking it race to race. She's obviously put herself at a benchmark now where we have to look at... Possibly stakes level at some stage. We're just on the border of a carnival. So whether we give her a little freshen up or run her straight into the carnival, like I said, she pulled up in terrific order. I just can't fault her. So I'll have a chat to the owners over the next 3 or 4 days and then we'll decide what we do with her.
And Rachel King's developing a really nice affinity with her, Jason.
Yeah, she wrote when she broke her maiden, she rode to instructions. She did everything right on the filly, so there was no reason to take her off. And her record suggests that she gets on with the filly really well. She knows how to ride her. And I think that's a massive advantage going into these races.
Now, Jason, your own form in the trainership market has been outstanding over the last couple of months. What do you put that down to?
Fast horses. To be really honest, I mean, we've just got a nice bunch of 3-year-olds, Instant Starter, Mam, South Sonic, all those horses, they've really come on from their 2-year-old season. All the owners have been terrifically patient with them, and it's just nice to see they're bearing the fruits of that. We possibly, if you rush them as a 2-year-old, we might not be getting that. So it's just nice to see that it's come to the fore for those owners.
Heading towards the spring, Jason, there's a bunch of trials going on. We've got Winx trialling amongst others, but plenty of trials there at Randwick on Monday. I mean, from your stable, who should we be keeping an eye on that's perhaps an up-and-comer heading towards the spring?
Yeah, look, to be fair, with the winter we've just had, we'll probably be fairly light in the spring. I'm hoping that those 3-year-olds can step into their 4-year-old season and possibly... into the autumn, it'll be more their time to shine. Horses like South Sonic and Mems and Intentata, hopefully they can hang. So given that they've had quite a solid winter, I do think we'll be a little bit light. Possibly a horse like White Moss or that sort of thing. She's just come back into the stable, so late spring might be one to follow. She's got a nice little record there, and she's returned in as good of order as I could have asked.
The other thing about Memes, I mean, she handles all going, doesn't she? So if you set her for the autumn and there's some wet weather around, I mean, she handles all conditions.
Well, I think if you look through the last few years, you're almost guaranteed wet tracks through the autumn in Sydney at the moment. So off the back of a break and even if she just strengthens a little bit of an improvement there, you think she'd be well placed in some of those lighter type races, and you're 100% right. Being able to handle all conditions is a massive asset, and being able to put yourself on speed at a nice cruising speed is another bonus. So she looks like the sort of horse that you could target a nice race for.
Certainly could. Now, Jason, if I could take you away from horse racing for 1 minute here. You're a big Bulldogs fan, I hear.
Yeah, I am. I am. It hasn't been the strongest season, but you know, I'm sure everyone at the club's working hard to get the season back on track and a few wins to finish the year off and hopefully build towards next year.
Do you get out many games?
I don't get out to as many as I'd like to. Obviously, waking up a little bit early morning isn't always perfect, but watch every game of the year. And I actually got out to Belmore the other day. That was nice to actually get a win.
Yeah, it certainly was. Well, Jason, congratulations with Memes. Congratulations on your own form in the training market over the last couple of months. And we look forward to seeing what else comes up over the next couple of months as we lead into the spring carnival. So good luck to you, and thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks so much for the call.
There he is, Jason Coyle, trainer of Memes, and as you said and spoke about earlier, a great run yesterday.
Yeah, it certainly was, and it could be one to look forward for heading towards, particularly the autumn. And, keep an eye on White Moss, that runner he mentioned as well. It finished its last preparation on fire.
Yeah, it certainly did. Time to go to the open line, 13:53:53. Not sure what they're going to talk about here, but we've got Doug online. Good morning, Doug.
Good day, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Stuart, I mean, I was going to talk about Nathan Cleary. He should be a good player for the Blues next year if he's not too young enough to go over there, or what's the situation with him?
Well, he looks like a quality player, I think. I don't think there's any question about that. He's doing some great things out there at Penrith. Him and Matty Moylan, they're playing some good footy out there at Penrith. I'm really not sure. I know Laurie rates him very highly, but I don't know where he stands as far as getting picked, but certainly I agree with you as a layman, I suppose, in the rugby league world. I think he's a quality player, and he's a player of the future, isn't he?
Yeah, he certainly is too, and I wasn't very happy about the tackle on Billy Slater. I mean, what's wrong with the referees today?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's been the big talking point of last night and this morning, hasn't it? And look, I don't think there's one person really who said it shouldn't have been a send-off. Is the send-off dead, is the question today.
Yeah, we should get Bill Harrigan back into the referee.
Bill's pretty happy retired.
I think Bill's quite enjoying his radio stint on another radio station.
He was the best referee, though.
He was great. Look, Billy had seemed to have control. But I think, in fairness, Doug, the NRL have come out and made a statement.
That's right,
they have come out and said, look, it was obviously at the higher end of bad tackle scale. It fitted all the... what's required for a send-off. The guy is on report, so he's going to get found out. There's no benefit in that situation for Melbourne, which is the biggest issue around it all. Because
they lost a player.
Yeah, they lost a player. He didn't get removed from the field. I get the feeling referees are very reluctant to send guys off, because if you're playing against 12 in the modern-day game, it makes so much of a difference.
They've been tripping.
But in reality, look, it is very, very, very rough sport at different stages, and there's got to be that rule there just in case. If someone comes out and does something deliberate, which that appeared to be, the option's got to be there for the referee. But, Doug, appreciate your call. Stay on the line. We'll get you out a couple of CDs, I reckon. Jeremy, we've got a couple of CDs out there. Yes, we've got the thumbs up. Stay on the line. Appreciate your call. Good on you, Doug. You have a nice day. There he is, Doug. Let's go to Adrian. Oh, this is someone I haven't spoken to for a while. 13:53:53. Adrian. Hello, mate. How are you?
G'day, Jared, how are you?
Yeah, very well, mate. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about New South Wales origin and about Canterbury. First of all, Jimmy raised the point about Cameron Smith being, you know, Queensland's best origin player. He'd be, obviously be right up there, but it'll only ever be Wally Lewis, and it can only be Wally Lewis. And the reason being, I look at it and think, if you picked a New South Wales composite side of the best New South Wales side ever, the modern-day people, Jared Hayne probably get on the wing, Paul Gallen maybe, perhaps, on the bench. Whereas Wally, the teams he faced and he dominated most of the time, they get probably a dozen into the 7-8.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue. I mean, Wally would be captain. He embodied all the spirit of origin, the spirit of Queensland. That's why there's a statue of him out at the front of Suncorp Stadium. Look, I get what you're saying. I mean, the game's a lot different, of course, to when Wally played. But the thing about Cameron Smith is how he slows the game down and quickens the game up. He dictates the speed of the game.
Don't get me wrong. He's a quality player. He's a superstar. Yeah. But I'm just saying that's the only way you can do it, because, you know, you look at the players, you know, Ray Price, Bradley Clyde, Kenner, Kenny, Sterling, you know, they're just phenomenal
Andrew
players.
Johns.
Well, not he wasn't that era, but see.
I know, but if you're going to pick a best ever team.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. Well, you're Andrew Johns, yeah, for sure. But, okay, that's one of perhaps Cameron in his early part of his career would have had to face. But the last 10 years, the New South Wales quality has been poor. Now, just with Laurie, terrific bloke, saw him at a function at West Leagues, lovely guy. But to me, Laurie and Peter Sterling, they both failed the state. They really did. They should have made changes. I don't care if they won or not. They should have made changes. He had the form number 9 in the competition. He's not the best player, but he's the form number 9. And Zorba mentioned him about just after Origin 1. Apisai Koriasau should have been the 9. Pete's went well, but Koriasau has been phenomenal. One of the reasons why Manly gone brilliant, because he brings so much more to the game.
Pete
should have got rid of
him. Okay, what about the Bulldogs? What have you got to say about them?
Well, Des Hazard is a myth. I'm sorry. He's an absolute myth. And just getting back to Origin, my coaching situation would be Jeff Turbia's coach. He got an ageing roster in Manly in the 2013 side into the grand final. That was a phenomenal effort. He got no support from the management or the board at Manly. So Jeff Turbia would be the coach. You'd have Andrew Johns in Peter Sterling's place as advisor because, by trying to shut down game 2, sorry, Laurie and Peter Sterling. Laurie instructed it. Sterling kicked off on it. They should both go for that. But you have Joey Johns in the role of Peter Sterling, and you have Freddie Fiddle in the role of Alfie Langer. That fixes it, in my opinion, and pick the best teams. But getting back to Canterbury, dead set myth, mate. Honestly, in 2015, they were appalling. Last year, they were dreadful, and you got and Michael Ennis, their former captain, hit it on the head. Diabolical this year. But for 3 years...
Sorry, Adrian, we got a fade. We gave you a crack. It sort of went on. I tried to get you back to Canterbury, and you went back to State of Origin. But appreciate your call. Yeah. I actually thought Adrian was banned. Is that the weekday show only? Is that the weekday show?
The only thing I want to say about Nathan Peets, I thought in Game 1 he was sensational and one of the unsung heroes. And New South Wales won 28-4. So, look, I don't know if that was a big problem for the Blues.
I don't know what to say. I honestly don't know what to say. Look, everyone's got an opinion at the moment. They're very well-respected people. I'm not sure Adrian's in the well-respected category. I know Adrian likes his football and he follows his football and he's entitled to his opinion. That's what makes this country great.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure.
The difference is every year there's huge debate about the New South Wales side. And every year the Queensland debate's minimal.
Yeah,
it's about their team.
It's because you pick the same blokes and some of them are going to be the greatest players of all time.
We better go through the scratchings today.
Hang on, wait. Let me get comfortable for these. This is really exciting.
Okay, the scratchings. The meeting is Narendra there today. And, the weather's fine. The rail's true. And let's go through race 1.
Oh, thank God for that. Right.
Number 4, Frozen Asset. Number 7, I'll Tell Ya. That's race 1. Race 2, number 8, Rain Joy. Race 3, number 3, Sierra Raider. Number 5, Al Artois. 12, TJ Red. And the emergency number 13, Best Image, is out. Race 4, number 2, Haunted Stream. Number 9, My Night. Race 5, number 4, Comrade Ned. Number 6, Sovereign Lad. And the 15, the emergency Tuscan Paddy, is out. Race 6, number 1, Sharif. Number 5, Max Master. 6, Always Flushed. 7, Hercules Horse. Are you marking these?
Man, I've got them. I'm writing them down. Just keep going. I'm so excited.
Race 7, number 5, Campfire. And the emergencies 14 and 15, Bolshoi Devushka and Kulaminya Kid are out. Race 9, number 8, 3 Ra. Number 12, Tom the Frog. And the 13, Dash of the Dart, is out. So that is the scratchings from Narendra. The other New South Wales meeting today is at Coffs Harbour.
Are there more?
Yeah, it's Sunday. This is a big punting day, Stu. And it's Coffs Harbour today. The weather's fine. And the rail's out 5 metres from the 1,000 to the 350, where the cutaway applies. And it's true the remainder. But we go to the scratchings. Race 1, the 2, Plectrum. 5, Smoky Aura. 14, Queen Cora. And the 18, the emergency My Little Lady, is out. Race 2, number 2. Just Flicking It. Race 3, number 1, Kendallman. 14, the emergency Locomotive Breath, is out. Race 4, number 10, Pom Petite. Race 5, number 4, Manhattan Road. Race 6, number 9, Baroque Girl. And the emergency 16, 17 and 18 are out. Race 7, number 6, Dylan's Luck. The 11, the emergency Bonnet Cheval, and the 13, Go the Gantry, the 14, Tia Coney, are all out. So they're the scratchings. Whew. I hope you enjoyed that, Stu.
How exciting was that?
Yeah. Does Ray enjoy it that much?
I think Ray's lovely wife, Tanya, does the scratchings. So Ray just sits there and writes them down. Like, oh, yeah, great stuff. So anyway, thanks for doing that.
Any time.
To all the listeners out there that are going to have a bet today, at least you know who the scratchings are now. Now, coming up after the 8 o'clock news, we've got the great Zorbo. We'll talk to Ty England. Phil Moss will give us a wrap around of football. And we'll take your calls, 13 53 53.
Getting some great SMSs too on our topic today, our theme, the best sporting event or match you got up for in the middle of the night. We'll go through some of those as well.
Yeah, we'll go through all of those as well. 0419 767 272, if you want to get in contact with the program. What sporting event would you get up for in the middle of the night?
I'm Kim Cartwright. A mystery cyclist filmed part of the fatal encounter between US police and Australian Justine Dumont, offering a potential breakthrough in the investigation. Minneapolis police officer Mohammed Noor and his partner Matthew Harity were criticised for not having their body or vehicle dash cams on when they were called to an alley behind Ms. Dumont's home a week ago. Authorities have identified and interviewed a male cyclist who was spotted at the scene. The federal government is investing millions into protections against possible bioterror attacks and contagious diseases. $27 million will be spent to develop safeguards against unforeseen health risks, with Health Minister Greg Hunt telling Macquarie Radio that the government can't wait until something happens to act.
Anthrax, Ebola, bird flu, it could be something which is accidental or it could be worse, but it's up to us to deal with the unlikely event, to prepare and to make sure that we have the counter-agents and the systems to deal with any crisis.
New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian expects a robust and at times heated debate at a Liberal Party reform convention in Sydney today. Malcolm Turnbull has urged the convention to back changes to party rules which would ensure grassroots members have a greater say on candidates and policy. Ms. Berejiklian has also thrown her weight behind the idea of plebiscites to select candidates for state and federal seats, but said she understood members had different ideas as to how this could be achieved. Mr. Turnbull says plebiscites are a fundamental element of party democracy and will help boost party membership and motivate members to be more active. A man has been charged with arson and threatening violence after allegedly setting another man's caravan alight during a dispute in North Queensland. Police allege a 61-year-old man threatened a 72-year-old man with a knife at Watsonville near Atherton yesterday afternoon before pouring flammable liquid around the caravan and setting it on fire. No one was hurt, but the caravan and an adjoining shed were completely destroyed. The 61-year-old was arrested and charged with threatening violence, arson, indecent acts, and entering premises with intent, and was refused bail to face court on Monday. US President Donald Trump has asserted that he has complete power to pardon in a series of Twitter messages. The tweets come amid reports he's been looking at ways to pardon himself and his family should investigators find him or his aides guilty of colluding with Russia during the election campaign. More from the BBC's Laura Becker.
President Trump is gearing up for a fight and looking at ways of doing battle with the continued claims that Moscow helped him win the White House. That includes using his power to pardon. This was supposed to be a week celebrating all that is made in America. Instead, the focus has been on the Trump team reshuffles. The attempt at a reset comes as special counsel Robert Mueller has widened the scope of his inquiry to include Mr. Trump's finances. This has infuriated the president, as has the focus on his family.
Back home, and both the Conservation Council and One Nation are calling for the WA Labor government to legislate for and extend a ban on fracking. Labor's campaign policy was to ban fracking in the southwest, the Peel region and Perth metropolitan area, and to hold an inquiry to examine the impacts of the gas extraction process. Finally, a 27-year-old man has died in a three-vehicle crash at roadworks near Innisfail on the Bruce Highway in far north Queensland. This is AIR News. North Queensland's mid-season surge continues with the Cowboys grinding out a 24-12 NRL win over the free-falling Warriors last night in Townsville. It was 12-all at halftime after a dogged first half, and while the Cowboys never reached to any great heights, they rolled on to a fourth straight win without Jonathan Thurston. The Warriors were also without their injured half, Sean Johnson. For the Warriors, it means their hopes of making the top eight are all but over. Warriors captain Roger Tuivasa-Sheck says it's disappointing, but he's trying to look at the positives.
It is disappointing to go down like that, especially with the fight that we put up, and we're pleased in lots of areas. Again, we don't go home with the 2 points, but we still got more games to go and proud of the boys' efforts, and we can hopefully build on this.
In the other matches, Penrith beat the Gold Coast 24-16 and Melbourne beat Canberra 20-14. Former Australian tennis player and coach Peter Doohan has died at the age of 56. Dubbed the Becker Wrecker, after famously defeating two-time defending champion Boris Becker in 1987 at Wimbledon, Peter reached a career-high world ranking of number 43. He won the South Australian Open singles title and reached number 15 in doubles, winning five titles during his distinguished career. Hawthorne have overcome some minor infighting to post a crushing 52-point win over Fremantle in their AFL clash at Domain Stadium. The Hawks made a hot start to last night's match and booted 6-2 in the final quarter to cruise to the 15-10-100 to 7-6-48 win. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Noir. By De Bortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Do you want to use your card for small transactions like your morning coffee? You can, you know. All you need to do is look for the orange $0 minimum signs to find shops that let you pay your way. In Rouse Hill, we've got a two-car accident involving persons trapped. That's on Windsor Road at Schofields Road. It's affecting northbound traffic. In Cranbrook, lights are blacked out for repair on the northern road at Sheringham Road. And we've got delays heading to the airport. It's very heavy on Marsh Street and Airport Drive approaching the international terminal. Start your great Australian storybook collection today with the Sunday Telegraph. Get Possum Magic by Australian author Mem Fox for free, only when you buy the Sunday Telegraph today. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, sunny and 22, areas of frost in the west early this morning. Winds west to northerly 20 to 30 kilometres an hour and light in the evening. Now, where are we going to go? To Bourke. 22 out there as well. Light morning frost and sunny. Sunny areas, 15 to 25 kilometre winds out west. And daytime maximum temperatures, low to mid-20s. Have you got a place, Jared? Did you go anywhere? Did you have a look around?
Tibooburra, 24. Right up in northwestern New South Wales. So I went to school with a couple of blokes from Tibooburra there on big cattle stations there. But look, they do need rain out in central western New South Wales. No, I grew up out near Orange. And I do know that, speaking of Dad, who's obviously in touch with a lot of his farmer mates, that they do need rain in quite a few areas in New South Wales at the moment to get the crops going. So let's hope we can get some rain where it's needed.
Let's hope.
Bet you'll love waiting for a delayed train, half time at the footy, or even sitting in a dentist's waiting room. Because with the Tab app, you can enjoy live racing on your phone anytime, anywhere. What's more, you can even watch races while you scroll out great odds and bet. Plus, with race replays on demand, you can study the favourites or relive a classic race. Enjoy live racing today. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Race replays excludes Victoria Thoroughbreds. Gamble responsibly.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
I'm Ross Newcomb from Newcomb & Co Chartered Accountants. In 2013, we employed Charles to be part of our admin team. His dedication makes him an asset to our business and clients. We recommend other employers focus on ability.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer the opportunity to own and race the half-brother to champion three-year-old Who've You Got You. Our colt is by sensational sire Fastnet Rock from Temple of Peace, a stakes place winner of three races. Who've You Got You was a dual Group 1 winner of 10 races, including the Alumba Stakes, Caulfield Guineas, and won over $3.25 million. Join the Dynamic Gay and Adrian team to race the Fastnet Rock half to Who've You Got You. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Joyce with the outswinger, and it's gone in. Jackson Irvine. He nearly scored in Tehran. He has scored in Sydney. The first international goal for the young midfielder.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Stuart Clark and Jared Middleton sitting in for Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas. Now, it's a one-off special edition, limited edition Big Sports Weekend.
Are we selling a CD?
Well, you know, we'll put out a plaque or something like that a little bit later on. Someone's come back to you and chipped you about your scratching.
Yeah, look, I forgot something, and Will pointed out, this is Chris from Maitland, I forgot to say what the track rating was. So
right, well, hang on, wait.
I'm not doing the scratchies again,
but
I'll
get a bit of paper back here.
That's crucial. Stewie. Yes, so in Narrandera, it's a good 4, and at Coffs Harbour, it's a soft 6. But conditions, weather's fine in both regions.
Now we've done the rail.
Yeah, did the rail.
Amy did the rail.
Amish is down the track,
yelling stuff in my ear here. What about the rail? We've done the rail.
Do you want me to do it again?
No. Track conditions are enough. Like now I've got that. I'm pretty much done for the day. So 1353 53 is the open line number. Our talk topic is, what sporting event would you get up for in the middle of the night? Plenty coming in here. A lot around the FA Cup final.
Yeah, Liverpool beating Arsenal in 2001.
I remember getting up to watch Craig Johnson back in the day. Champions League final.
Yeah, I remember that.
Given the time frames of those events, they seem to happen in the middle of the night. So
yeah, as a Liverpool fan, that's one of the best sporting matches I've ever seen, when Liverpool came from 3-0 down against AC Milan. Yes, they won on penalties. Never forget it. 3-0 down at half time against one of the great European sides in AC Milan, who were full of champions, and Steven Gerrard inspired one of the greatest sporting comebacks you'll see. America 1983, the America's Cup.
Yeah, there's another one.
We've got the Rugby World Cup 1991, the Wallabies against the All Blacks, when the Wallabies won the semi-final 16-6. And then there's Rodney, who said, I would get up for pole vaulting in the middle of the night. No. And then we've got the Olympics, obviously. We've got, what else have we got? We've got plenty of golf. We've got, America's Cup's been well documented by plenty. And, keep them coming.
1353 53 is the open line if you want to have a talk on the open line. If you want to send us an SMS, 0419 767 272. Gerard will read out a couple of tweets later on at Big Sports Wend. He's all over that Twitter handle there to see what he can find. If you're not, I will be shortly. We'll get Jeremy outside to do it. But I haven't spoken to this man for a while. It's Peter Zorba Zappers. Morning, Zorba.
Morning, guys. How are you going? I'm that guy that's getting up in the middle of the night to watch pole vaulting. Needs to go to see the doctor tomorrow morning.
You watched the footy last night, Zorba. The send-off, my goodness. Was that a send-off or not?
Absolutely. I mean, what have you got to do to be sent off? I'm stunned that Matt Checken, the number one referee in the game, didn't just immediately send Sia Soliola off. He collected Billy Slater with a blatant head high. Sure, Billy had slipped, but he still hit him in the head, and we saw the result. It was after he passed the ball, so it was late. He got carried off on a stretcher. Soliola stays on. He'll be suspended probably, but...
How many weeks over?
He's got to get a couple for that, for sure. I can't understand why the referees have gone that way, and I can't understand how the game can send players to the sin bin for infringing the rules for 10 minutes, and a player who commits a blatant foul like that and gets a player stretched off, and a great player, not that that matters, it's any player.
Sure.
It's just stupid. The game doesn't make sense at the moment, and I think we'll see a change in that. I reckon there'll be an uproar over this, and I think, unfortunately, the NRL react rather than are proactive, and I thought it was pretty poor last night too for the number one ref. There was an incident close to... the Canberra line, where Canberra couldn't get to the dummy half position because there was a Melbourne player lying all over, and he actually awarded a try checking.
Yeah, he did.
That the Canberra player had pushed him, and like, you can't lie there. You can't lie on the play the ball and prevent the dummy half from picking the ball up. That's a blatant penalty any day of the week. And he didn't call it, and he awarded the try. Luckily for him, that he was saved by the bunker.
Yeah, it's exactly right. He was saved by the bunker. I saw that live, and I couldn't believe he had awarded a try either. So, anyway, look, the Storm, they're runaway leaders.
Yeah, they are, but they've got a lot of an anxious wait today. I mean, an anxious wait over Billy Slater. He was not cold. So, you know, they're going to have to clear him. But that should happen. But the big question mark now is it around their great captain, one of the greatest players in the game all time, probably, in Cameron Smith. Remember, sternum injuries are often season-ending. He's going to have scans today. They want to hope that it's not all that serious, although I don't know of a sternum injury that's not serious. He left the field in Canberra last night, first time since 2009 that he hasn't played at least 50 minutes in a game.
it's ridiculous, remember, that record, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Remember the last big game he missed?
They're the grand final when Manly beat them 40-0.
40-0 in the grand final. Yeah. So without Cameron Smith, they come back to the field. They are entitled to be red-hot favourites for this competition. But if they lose Smith, then it will all change.
Now, the quality player. Yeah, absolutely. Well, firstly, just on that, can the Melbourne Storm win the premiership without Cameron Smith, despite how good they are? Are you going to flat out no?
No, definitely not. I mean, he runs the show. He runs Queensland. He runs Australia. He's an all-time great. But there's no need to wait until he retires to declare him that. He is. We've all seen it year after year, season after season. Yep. Without him, they will not win the comp.
Well, the Cowboys are going pretty well without their champion, aren't they? Jonathan Thurston, a nice win last night, 24-12. They're in fifth spot now, the Cowboys, Zorba.
Yeah, I don't like them, Jared. When I look at, they've got the draw from hell coming up. Listen to this. Roosters away, Storm home, Panthers away, Sharks home, Tigers, I'll give them that one, and then Broncos at home. I reckon five losses out of the last six.
Right.
Realistically, that's 30 points. They'll be on the edge of it. For and against might decide that where they go. But the Panthers are coming home fast. They've got three games in a row at home coming up. And at the end of those 3 weeks coming up, they could be right in the mix.
Yeah, they certainly can. And obviously the loss of JT has put a big dent in their premiership. Now, the Panthers, you mentioned them there quickly. Cleary's playing good footy. Moylan was back last night. But you sort of think Cleary's better without Moylan?
Well, I think he's inhibited by his captain. Look, he's only 19.
Yeah, sure.
He last week we saw him against the Warriors in Auckland, and he completely dominated the game because Matty Moylan was out, and he just was brilliant.
He was brilliant
against Sean Johnson and Kieran Foran. Moylan last night, he missed the Warriors game, Moylan.
Mm.
Cleary last night just ran the show, but particularly ran the show when Moylan was off, and he went off after intercepting last night, scoring a try. He's got a hamstring problem. He hobbled over the line to score, but the final period of time from the 61st minute to the end was the best period for the Panthers. They look really good, more potent, they were smoother with Cleary in charge. I reckon Moylan's got to go back to fullback. Peter Wallace to 5'8 is the way for them to go. Now, if you remember last year, Penrith toyed with Bryce Cartwright at 5'8".
Yes.
He's not a 5'8", he's a back rower. The coach is obviously struggling to come up with a number six. They sold young Martin to the Cowboys.
Yeah, they did.
He went last night at 5'8". Mm. I reckon Peter Wallace is the answer for them, but it remains to be seen what happens. What a round this weekend, though, where the top clubs almost exclusively played teams from the bottom half of the competition. We've already seen the Storm, the Roosters, the Broncos, the Sharks and the Cowboys have all won. Two teams inside the eight, St George Illawarra, play Manly today. That's going to be a vital one for both clubs. And Parramatta can move comfortably inside the eight when they beat the West Tigers today. It's clear now, I reckon, that only Penrith can come into the eight with a late surge and one team can drop out.
Yeah.
Time for Zorba's Zappers then.
Yeah, Zorba's Zappers. They're always fun-filled and there's always plenty of money up there for the men of league. Who have you got today, Zorba?
I'm going to go for Parramatta to beat West Tigers by 13+.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's good. How have you been going this year with Zorba's Zappers?
Sort of mixed. I made the mistake of tipping New South Wales in the last Origin game. First time in 10 years I've done that. But I suppose you've packed into as many scrums as I have, so you've got to lose your brain.
Oh, you had plenty of friends. Don't worry, you weren't alone, Zorba. But Parramatta 13+, $2.30 with tab.com.au there today to beat the West Tigers head-to-head. It's $3.50 the Tigers and Parra $1.30. And do I dare ask the Dragons Manly game, what your thoughts are there?
Well, it's going to be interesting. Manly don't have a good record. at Wynn Stadium. St George Illawarra walloped them in the first round over at Lotto Land. They've got Dugan out, and that's going to be a blow to St George Illawarra. But Manly, Manly in the last couple of weeks haven't been as good as we were for the previous 6 weeks. I think it's going to be a very close game. Obviously, I'm tipping the Maroon and Whites, but it's a danger game for anyone that that is looking at having a punt today.
Zorba, as always, very, very comprehensive. Good to hear your voice, mate, and we'll catch up again soon.
Okay, boys.
Yeah.
There he is, Peter with Zorba Zappers and all things rugby league. Obviously, going for Manly there, and the prices, Jared?
Yeah, $1.65, the Eagles. The Dragons, $2.25 at home, and the line, $2.50. Dragons, the plus $1.95. Manly, the minus $1.85. But the Dragons, Dragons fans starting to get a bit edgy after that fantastic start to the season. All of a sudden, you're looking at a situation where you may miss out on the eighth if you don't start to get a couple of wins together.
They've got the old wobbly boot on, haven't they? They're a little bit wobbly, but all those Dragons fans, get out there and support your team today, as they usually do. After the break, we'll have a chat to Ty England.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the Wild West.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new Westinghouse, Hitachi and Beko fridges ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We'll take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new Hitachi, Beko or Westinghouse fridge from Bingley and get free full service delivery.
You know when that beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon, so be quick. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Your business can secure some extra stock at a great price, but the banks say no.
You want it in time for a peak sales period, yet they still say no.
You need funds before the deal disappears, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house. And you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
For the best price and range on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man? The man from Mazda. Penrith Mazda with 300 new cars in stock over 5 acres. And Penrith Mazda's BT50 Ute Centre has over 50 utes on display. Let them package you a great deal. Grab a coffee and a bite to eat in Cafe Zoom while your car is serviced. See the Mazda experts today. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. They're family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
It's Jon Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Hardham is surging at them. Jon Snow in front. Jon Snow from Harper's Choice's game. Jon Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Before we go to Tony, we go to the open line, 1353-53, and Peter's there. Morning, Peter.
Morning, how you going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought you did a good job with the scratches there.
Thanks, Peter.
No, yeah, well, are you related?
At the end of the day, old mate was too fast. I couldn't keep up with him.
At the end of the day, I'm reading a piece of paper. So, look, I've got to get it right, otherwise, let's face it, I'm out of a job.
Well, no, you're doing a good job.
No, thank you.
You're doing
much,
a good
Peter.
Job, Peter. What about that live read then? Are you impressed with that too?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, no, he's been on fire.
You're easily pleased, Peter, but thank you very much. Very much appreciated.
No, you're doing a good job.
Oh, good on you, mate. Much appreciated. Enjoy your Sunday. Thank you very much, Peter, there. Giving you a rap. Gee, who organised that? Seriously?
Was that a relative of yours?
I couldn't pick it up. It probably can't be ruled out. But let's now, we're joined on the line. Ty England, he rode the winner of the first and the last races there yesterday. One on the 2-year-old Assimilate for the Snowdens and also Pelothroniest in the last there for David Five. How are you this Sunday morning, Ty?
Yeah, good, mate. Very good.
Now, Assimilate, this Sebring colt, commanding witness, had a really nice, strong speed there, and it seemed to suit your colt.
Yeah, it was probably nearly too quick, actually. Most of the other runners in the field were sort of off the bridle, half chasing that speed battle, and it just took my horse out of his comfort zone a little bit. He, yeah, he did get home well, but just have the heat, I think he would appreciate being able to travel into the race a little bit better. And he just had that sort of awkward high head carry, and I think that just comes down to him being a little bit uncomfortable within himself because they went a bit quick. So really nice horse. He's put two good wins together. I think he's got a nice, bright future, that's for sure.
Ty, how worried do you get when, I suppose, you're riding and you see that happen or you feel that happen, that he's doing something that you don't want him to do or her to do, and how do you go about fixing that?
Well, for example, you know, we'll go to that race on Saturday, yesterday, and you just have to put your horse, start getting going on your horse a little bit earlier than what you want to, because if you don't, if that tearaway leader keeps going, you know, you look like a bit of a fool. So, you know, you've got to sort of make your move a little bit early, and that comes down to your horse having to make a long, sustained run as well. So you need the right animal to be able to do that. And then if you do get going early and the leader stops, you know, 300 out, you hit the front, you've gone too early, you've got other horses running you down. So it just makes it awkward, you know. There's a lot of things that probably disadvantage you with if they go too quick.
That's it. You've got to get in the mind of a jockey.
Yeah, I'd love listening to them talk about this because they're riding this, you know, 700-kilo animal type thing, and you know, trying to make it go fast or slow, or you know,
lots of money at stake. Owners, punters,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, as punters, you can fire up. But by goodness, you're making split-second decisions. You can only imagine how difficult it is. But Ty, this beautifully bred colt went through the sales ring, the English sales ring in 2016 for $420,000. So we've got it a $51 chance for the Golden Rose. You mentioned it's got a bright future. I mean, we've seen Siege of Quebec and Kementari only emerge since the autumn as far as the late season two-year-olds are concerned. I mean, is the Golden Rose a bridge too far for this colt to assimilate?
No, I wouldn't say at all. You know, they're all these horses leading towards the Golden Rose, they're all, you know, on par at the moment of having probably, you know, two, three career starts, and he's won two of two. Kementari won one or two, but probably did it in a little bit more fine fashion. I've been able to ride them both, and, you know, they're pretty close. Kementari's a little bit of a standout for me, just the way that he let go and the ability that he showed me. He's probably a little bit in front, but, listen, there's, you know, it's a big bridge until we get to the Golden Rose. A lot of things happen. Horses fall away and horses improve. So still an open race, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, $11 favourite, joint favourite in our Golden Rose all-in market is Kementari. Now, your other winner yesterday, Pelothronius, for David Pfeiffer, has now won four in a row and has seven wins from 13 starts, this four-year-old. You seem to have plenty of horse on the turn. You just had to be patient and then eventually got him out wide.
Yeah, a bit of an awkward run race. Go back to the half mile, there was a bit of interference, and that probably just through the lack of speed coming back. A few horses got over racing, and it got a little bit tight. I probably got shifted back another pair or two. And with that, the horses running last started to make their run around us, which put me in a pocket the whole way around to about the 500, 400, and I knew I had plenty of horse, but I just didn't want to panic and try and put him into a gap that was going to close. So I knew Blake on Invincible Knight, he made a run to my outside. I just let him go, peeled off his back, and, I was able to have a good enough turn of foot to pick that horse up. So he's winning good, he's racing well, and credit to the team. They've obviously placed him in all the right races.
Ty, what's next for you?
Holiday, mate. I've clocked off now.
Have you?
Yeah, I've had a good season, and listen, I do a lot of wasting, and you know, I thought it's going to be beneficial for me to have the 2 weeks off. I'll be back Saturday week, so we're going to have a bit of a break, let the body freshen up, and I set a goal this season to beat my record of 111 winners, and I got to 113, so very happy.
Oh, that's good stuff and well deserved. Just lastly and quickly, what's it like being on the sidelines watching the Abdullah Bowman Premiership battle? I mean, what are the moods like in that jockey's room?
No, it's good. It's all lighthearted. There's a little bit of tongue in cheek between a few people revving them all up, but I'm on a team Abdullah. I like the underdog. Huey's won everything. He's got wings. He travels. He he's got too many Group 1s under his belt. So share it around. Let the young man have a go.
Ty, thank you for your time this morning. Enjoy your holiday.
Thanks,
I'm off away from the horse racing game, and we'll speak to you again soon.
All the best.
Ty England. Great job yesterday. Winners in race 1 and race 9. He's having a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, well deserved. I mean, especially, like he said, he does waste a lot. So, well deserved that break, and hope he enjoys it. Now, it's just on the Jockeys Premiership market too with Tab. Hugh Bowman, $1.28. Brendan Abdullah, $3.60. With Hugh Bowman leading by half a point with two meetings left. Canterbury on Wednesday, Rose Hill on Saturday.
Yeah, plenty going on. Now, before we go to the 8:30 news, we'll just go to our talk topic. And we've got plenty. Oh, there's no 8:30 news. That's changed, hasn't it? Probably should have read my run sheet, someone's saying to me. Yeah, good point. No 8:30 news.
You're the schmuck.
Our talk topic this morning. What would you get up in the middle of the night for from a sporting event to watch? We've got plenty of coming. We've got plenty and plenty of coming, of nominations coming. A lot of soccer ones from FA Cup to Champions League. Someone's written here from up at 2 a.m. for the UFC fight.
Mm.
Not sure I'd get up for a UFC. I'm not the greatest UFC fan in the world. I know a lot of people are. Jimmy from Carrimbo has written women's bikini gridiron. That's interesting, Jim.
someone has mentioned too the one my great memory of getting up in the middle of the night, Rob, but I would get up to watch the Kangaroos play England or Great Britain. That famous try score by Mal Meninga in the last minute, that was worth getting up for. Absolutely. We mentioned that FA Cup final, Liverpool. There's lots of soccer ones, isn't there? I suppose, you know, all the big European soccer games in the middle of the night. They're worth getting up for. I mean, we're already up for the Ashes, but the Ashes as a kid. I mean, I've been getting up
for
the Ashes forever.
Remember, it was always like back before Fox and all that sort of stuff. You had to Channel 7, and you have to stay up late. And
ABC, even in the early 90s.
From one camera, so you could only see it down the... I remember watching Warney's Ball of the Century live.
Yeah,
that was the first of that sort of stuff. So, plenty going on. Also, a lot of talk around last night, Cesar Soliola. Should he have been sent off the game against Melbourne where he knocked Billy Slater senseless, to be fair? There's an email or an SMS that's come in from Tim from Surrey Hills who said, Stuart, needs to look deliberate. You need to look deliberate up in the dictionary. Soliola didn't think about it and planned to smash Slater. Bad word choice, old son. I'm not sure what he's saying, but it looked deliberate to me.
Oh, it was deliberate in the fact he went to tackle him.
It was
whether
late.
He deliberately smashed him. I get what he's saying. He's saying that he didn't mean to knock the bloke out, but that's what happened, and that's what happens sometimes in rugby league. But the fact
he got knocked out
because he slipped, and his motion got him straight in the head as a result of him slipping and him swinging his arm. That's not to say it's not a send-off offence, because the effect of that was he still got him high. It was reckless and careless.
Okay.
Was it deliberate? Did he deliberately attack Billy Slater's head? I think that's what, was it Tim in Surrey Hills is getting at? Possibly not.
Is Tim a friend of yours or something? No worries. No worries. Yeah. All right. We better take a break and we'll be back with Phil Moss shortly.
Most say Hong Kong, we say Honkers. Now's your chance to experience a trip of a lifetime. Departing Tuesday, December 5 with Ambassador Travel. World-class racing, five-star luxury. I guarantee you a Wednesday night you'll never forget. That's racing under lights in Happy Valley. All the action unfolding from the luxury of a corporate box. Catch your breath, it's on again. The big one, the World Championship of Turf at Sharks Inn on Sunday, December 10. Hopefully our best sprinters taking on the rest of the world. There's the shopping, extensions to Beijing or Shanghai, and golf at Mission Hills. Call Ambassador Travel right now. 1-800-777-989 or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
All grounds, all beaky. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network. You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Stuart Clark and Jared Middleton sitting in for Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas, who are away, I don't know.
Where are they?
Spending it. There's a word there on strike. ACA style. They've gone to the Radio Broadcasters Weekend Association and said, we're not getting enough. We're not coming into work. We want a revenue share model. And they won't get that revenue share model because apparently the producers outside are getting too much. They're not happy. There's been a dispute there. And they're not in. So I don't know when they're back. Are they back next week? No one really cares. Fair enough. Okay, let's move on. Plenty going on in the world of football. I know it's not the season. The season's about to start. But Phil Moss is across all things football. And he joined us online. Morning, Phil.
Good morning, Stewie. Morning, Gerard.
Phil, James Cherisi. Good to talk to you this Sunday morning. In talks with Melbourne City.
He is, yeah. It's an interesting one. Obviously, he played last season with Melbourne Victory, and there was talk whether he was going to stay there or not. And then all of a sudden, he was in the sights of Brighton in the EPL and Maccabi Haifa in Israel, and then talk of him going to Russia or Turkey. So, and as it turns out, now it's come full circle. It looks like he may sign for the crosstown rivals in Melbourne. So it'll be his 10th club in his career. 29 years of age, Jimmy Troisi, a fantastic talent, becoming an important member of the Socceroos as well. Of course, he scored in the Asian Cup final a couple of years ago, and was a key performer in the Confederations Cup as well recently. So, yeah, interesting move this next one. But if he does go to Melbourne City, that will certainly add some spice to the Melbourne derby.
Yeah, certainly all of those two. Now, Wellington have signed Croatian midfielder Goran Paratski. Did I say that
Paratski,
well?
Paratski, yes. You did. Well done. Yeah, that's very good.
Well, you did put it down in frenetically out for me, so if I'd got it wrong, I would have been an idiot.
Because I knew you were hosting this morning, so. But, yeah, new Wellington coach Dario Kalajic has made this signing. Paratski's had 200 First Division games in the Croatian top division. He's a Croatian under-19 international and looks like he may make his debut in that FFA Cup round of 32 match against Western Sydney Wanderers at Campbelltown in early August. So, it looks like a good signing. No doubt A-League fans and particularly Wellington Phoenix fans can't wait to see him pull on the shirt and show what he's got.
Mossy overseas, Robbie Cruz, he's signed for a Bundesliga club, VfL Bochum.
Yeah, Cruz has had a good career over in Germany in the past. He's played for clubs like Fortuna Dusseldorf, Bayer Leverkusen, Stuttgart, and he's gone back to what he knows. Of course, he had an ill-fated move to China where things didn't work out there with the owning Woewing, and there was some pay disputes going on there. So it looks like he's gone back to what he knows in Germany, and that's important for the Socceroos that Robbie Cruz is settled and playing well because he is a crucial member of Ange Postecoglou's setup. So let's hope that move works out for him. And, of course, in Bundesliga 2, he joins other Australians in Jamie McLaren, who's at Darmstadt, Brandon Borrello, who's at Kaiserslautern, and Ben Halloran, who's at Heidenheim. So a few Aussies making their name in the Bundesliga 2.
Yeah, and it's good to see. Now, 17 years ago, a bit of a historical moment, Mark Viduka, the great Dukes, he signed for Leeds United. Now, is he the best Aussie ever?
Yeah, Stu, I've put this in this morning because, in my opinion, Mark Viduka is. I'll just rattle off a few stats. He went from Celtic to Leeds in 2000 and spent 4 years there, 59 goals in 130 games. But over his career, 202 goals in 409 games for clubs including Melbourne Knights, Dinamo Zagreb, Celtic, where he scored 30 goals in 37 games for Celtic. Leeds, Middlesbrough, Newcastle United, 11 Socceroos goals for 43 caps. And that was probably where he didn't score as many goals as people expected him to. But he played in a system where he really was the lone shark up front. And his job really was to link with the midfield and bring them into play. So an unbelievable career and probably doesn't get the credit that he's due with regards to being, I think, the best Socceroo we've produced.
Yeah, so what does the great Dukes do now?
I don't know. I did run into him at the airport one day up in Brisbane, and he said he was doing a lot of fishing off the Croatian coast on his boat, but I'm not sure what he's doing. That was a few years ago now, but certainly he's earned the right to kick back for a few years. He had a wonderful career.
Yeah, what a side that Leeds United side was in the early noughties. But overseas, Chelsea have beaten Arsenal 3-0 in a friendly.
Yes, and Michy Batshuayi scored a double, and he had a big point to prove after the signing of Alvaro Morata from Real Madrid. So he's come in on a massive deal, and Batshuayi obviously wants to prove a point to Antonio Conte that he's he's there or thereabouts, and doesn't matter how big the signing is that comes in, there's still players there that want to prove that they should be ahead of them, and that's certainly good performance from him against top shelf Arsenal. We just saw them recently in Sydney, and their coaching staff believe they've got one of the best squads they've ever had.
Yeah, certainly. Now I know you've got another topic, but we've got an SMS that's come in from I'm just trying to find the guy.
Hasn't put his name.
He hasn't put his name, but the soccer players, and I know A League and EPL have different versions, but do they have a revenue sharing model?
That's something I'm not across, Hugh.
Yeah, sure.
Unfortunately, as a coach, I'm not really au fait with the collective bargaining agreement. But
sure.
I know that the PFA, the players, and the FFA work very closely together to make sure it's fair and reasonable for everyone.
So I think Mark Bosnich told me that the EPL, I know it's somewhere around about 50%. It's right up. You know, we talk 25 in Australian, 26 in Australian sports, but overseas it's around about 50%. So
dealing with enormous economy, though.
Yeah, large sums of money, large lot more people. So, mate, that's okay. I apologise for the question without notice, but our SMSs are coming in thick and fast.
More money up for grabs than what you and I have in our pocket.
Oh, maybe you, but anyway. Mate, appreciate your time this morning. The boys and I'll be in during the week, but we'll catch up with you again during the week.
Good on you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mossy.
Phil Moss on the world of football telling us everything. Manchester United also beat Man City overnight in another friendly. And Romelu
Lukaku
scored.
Yeah, big signing.
Big sign. So well done to them. Plenty going on. Taking your calls, 1353 53, or if you want to send us an SMS, 0419 767 272. Talk topic this morning. What sporting event would you get up for in the middle of the night? The Socceroos Cup, World Cup.
Game. Oh, 2006, absolutely.
Massive,
has to be right up there.
Massive night. And then the one I've completely forgotten about. The winner is Sydney.
Yeah, Dave from Penshurst.
Well done,
1993.
Dave.
Absolutely, that was a huge... Like, compared to now, how big that announcement was back then. I think they announced last week that... I think Paris and I forgot what the other city is. They just announced two at the same time for the Olympics 2024 and 28, or 2026 and 2030. So.
You know what the problem is? We've had it. We don't care anymore. Move on to the next one. We don't care where it is.
Craig from Tenworth. Black Caviar at Royal Ascot.
Ah.
Oh, right up there.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, I thought we were looking up at Hamish. We're going to a break.
No.
We're going to a call. Brett's there. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Stewie. Now, all the pressure's on Desi Hasler at the moment. What about Gus Gould? He came to Penrith to fix the situation. Now, they had a fourth finish, 10th, 12th, 16th, 12th, 11th and second position on the table before he came in. And then they went to a 12th, 15th, 10th, 4th and 11th. Is his record under a bit of pressure?
Well, it's an interesting one. I think Phil Rothfield alluded to that in one of his articles during the week after Gus came out and made some comments about different things to do with New South Wales State of Origin Rugby League. So there's a lot of people sort of looking at that. But look, Gus is a well-respected figure in the game of rugby league. He's not everyone's cup of tea. Well, that's okay. You don't have to be. But a lot of people are saying, well, before you start running around having a look at everything else, what about your own backyard?
Sorry, Brett. I was going to say, Gus came into Penrith as well for much more than just the football. That club was in a bit of turmoil financially at the time, and just through his connections, he's been able to help bring that club to a really solid financial standing as well. So I think Gus has really come into Penrith for just a sort of a whole-of-club approach rather than just the footy on the field.
Yeah, well, it'd want to be that because his results for the last 5 or 6 years have hardly been on the football field outstanding, have they?
Well, yeah, look.
One prelim final, they lost to Canterbury in 2012.
They should have got close
to. And, yeah, I mean, they'd want to have a good back end of this season, but it's starting to come together for them.
I think Gus needs it.
Yeah, they've got some good young players, but let's not forget, he's a well-respected figure in the world of rugby league, and you know, people do take notice of him. Brett, stay on the line. We've got some CDs coming your way. I don't know what, any good ones in there, Jeremy? Not really, okay. Well, you're getting some CDs, Brett, so stay on the line.
Oh, this has to be a highlight of the week.
Kenny Rogers and me in there, something of that note. It won't be anything modern, it'll be from 10. Good people
Kenny
Sony
Rogers.
Music. Good people Sony Music. We've also got the VMAX passes here, courtesy of Event Cinemas. Jimmy's been handing poor old Matt Duff, the commercial director there at Entertainment, or EVT, or whatever they're called. But some good here passes here. Event Cinemas going gold class. Are these gold class?
They'd have to be, wouldn't they?
They'd have to be, surely.
It's not a gold ticket.
Yeah, it's blue class. It's better than that.
It is. I've done the whole gold class.
No, not
once.
Oh, look, these are good.
It is worth it.
These are tickets to go and watch a movie. Go and watch your favourite movie. There's plenty going on at the moment. Take your wife,
Dunkirk.
Take your missus. Take
got to see Dunkirk.
Dunkirk, there you go. A great prize. We'll give it away a bit later on, I reckon, won't we? Maybe in the quiz. Is that what we give away? Best contribution to the show, right. Well, maybe it's Harold, 1353-53. He's on the line. Morning, Harold.
Good morning, Stewie. Listen, mate, I've got a couple of nominations for the wake up in the middle of the night sort of thing. The country boy that won the young bloke that won the gold in the sprint race at the Olympics.
Gold.
Remember him?
The young bloke that won the gold
in the sprint.
Did he win the gold in the final, the young bloke?
Swimming or running?
Which Olympics?
Country, New South Wales.
Yeah.
Last one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Swimming or running
Brazil.
Or?
Swimming.
Oh, Kyle Chalmers?
Horton. Mac Horton? No. Mac Horton.
No, Chalmers, wasn't it?
Oh, Chalmers. Kyle Chalmers.
Yeah, okay.
And the second one's a pentathlon girl that won the gold.
Chloe Esposito.
What a race that was.
Impressed with her.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Probably the third one. I would get up to Craig Johnson, yeah, for sure.
I remember getting up to watch that game, watch Craig Johnson and their big, long, flowing locks down the back of his head. Still sporting the ponytail, too, I noticed on Fox the other day, Craig.
He put us on the map, didn't he?
He was a star back in the 80s for Liverpool, and anyone that grew up liking Liverpool was a Craig Johnson fan. Appreciate your call, Harold. You go into the draw for the tickets. Event
Thanks
Cinemas. Thank you for your call. Yes.
Thanks very much, Harold. We've got Roger. Roger from Gunnedah. Roger, how are you?
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Very well. What do you got for us?
Who I want to nominate for getting out of bed to watch would be the America's Cup.
Yeah.
Australia 2. And the 1991 Rugby World Cup when Australia won their first one.
I remember getting up for that 16-6 against the All Blacks in the semi-final and then winning the World Cup final. I think it was 12-6 it was against England at Twickenham.
Those were
the glory days.
Well done. Appreciate that. Thank you for that, Roger. That's a couple of good nominations. That World Cup one, is that the one where Horan or Campese?
Horan had the pass over the shoulder back to David Campese when David Campese was player of the World Cup.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. We'll take your calls right up to 10 o'clock this morning, 1353-53. What's the best sporting event to get up and watch in the middle of the night? With the in British Open going on at the moment. We've just had Wimbledon.
Tour de France.
Tour de France. Plenty going on, but we'll take a break and we'll come back after that.
Start your Greyhound Racing Week. 10 a.m. Mondays on Going Greyhounds with Stuart Turner. Then through the week, get the tab market movers along with interviews with crucial players. If it's Greyhounds, we've got it. Here on Sky Sports Radio.
Guys, whether it's directly or indirectly, all of us have been impacted by cancer. Here's an easy way you can make a difference.
Cancer Council has launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. They're aiming to create one of the largest research groups ever with 50,000 Australians.
But we need more blokes. So if you're aged between 40 and 74, sign up at abcstudy.com.au. It can be done from home and in your own time.
It's all about investigating the causes of cancer and other diseases. The Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. Get on board today. today at abcstudy.com.au.
Magic Albert, a proven source of quality winners for your mares. Sire of four Group 1 winners, 38 stakes performers, and $40 million in stakes earnings. All-inclusive breeding packages in Magic Albert, including stud fee, adjustment, vet and GST for $11,000. Contact Angus at Kooringal on 0429 842 875 to discuss sending your mare to Magic Albert.
Back it comes to Clement. Clement, the laser ball. Reynolds attacks the line. He's there. This might be the point for this. He gets it down. That's a try. They score finally.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're talking talk topics. We're talking sporting events. Getting up in the middle of the night is our talk topic of the day. But before we do any of that, before we get to Dean Ritchie, I thought this was gone as well, but it's back. The quiz. It happens every week. Call now. 1353 53. If you want to play in the quiz, if you want to play, call now. 1353 53. Jared versus myself. We'll pick a guest. We'll ask some questions. They've got to answer the questions.
Up against each other?
Yeah, you have a contestant, I have a contestant.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And they answer the questions, and they win fabulous, fabulous prizes. Fabulous prizes. Z&Z Watch, winner of the day, of your team. So if you're I've got a Sharks one at home.
Do we get a watch as well?
No. I've got a Sharks one. Jimmy got me one.
Well, I want a North Sydney Bears one.
You can get one. It's awesome. 1353 53, a watch of your choice, courtesy of the good people of Z&Z Jewellers. But before we do that, the great man's on the radio. Oh, geez, I love this bloke. Dean Ritchie. Morning, Dino.
Good morning, Stuart. Off your long run today.
What's going on in the world of rugby league, mate? You've got your nose to the ground and you know everything that's happening.
Yeah, well, it's been a tumultuous week, I guess, Stuart, hasn't it? Pretty much fallout from State of Origin. A lot of hysteria about what went down, and you know, I guess when you lose, the blame game starts, and we're in the day, 10 or 11 now since the game finished, and we're still going.
Yeah. There we are.
So the story today is, Dean, in the Sunday telly, Phil Rothfield, your colleague, said that Laurie will stay. I mean, is that looking like a fait accompli?
Yeah, I think so. Jared Buzz's mail is always pretty strong. I actually had a chat to Laurie on Friday night. He was still, you know, down the dumps, Laurie. He takes losses very hard. He's a very emotional and a very passionate man. But there is a desire, you know, to come back and coach again and to right some wrongs from this year. And we've got to remember that, you know, we were 3 minutes from winning in game two in Sydney, Jared. If Jared Harton passes to Brett Morris, we're not talking about State of Origin now. It's been won. It's been undusted. We're moving ahead. So it was that close. It was that tight. Sure, we didn't turn up in game three. That's been well documented, and that's very obvious. But you know, overall, in the whole scheme of the three games, New South Wales was exceptionally competitive.
Yeah, it just seems like the fallout this year has been bigger than previous years. I know it's always a fallout, particularly in a losing series, and there's been plenty of them for New South Wales, but this one has dragged on 10, 11 days, as you said. Now, Manly, a big week again at the Manly Club. What's the latest there?
Yeah, the latest is that obviously this investigation continues down there, guys, as to you know, potential salary cap issues. On Friday, it emerged that Manly would not hand over computers to the NRL. The NRL was saying, look, we have the right to come in and search for those computers and to see what's been downloaded. Manly are claiming those computers are private computers, but this could get ugly down there. Look, there's some people at Manly who might be feeling a little bit nervous, certainly in the front office. There's some people there who the NRL don't like, some people there who the staff don't even like down there. Fortunately for Manly, as always, the football office is running smoothly, you know, thanks to the guy involved in Bozo and Dorber and Trent Barrett, etc. So, as always at Manly, the football team is covering up the deficiencies of a horrible, toxic front office.
Yeah, they seem to, no matter what happens at the front office, they seem to turn up and play footy well though, Dino, and you mentioned that. Trent Barrett deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, they've had that mentality for years, Stuart, haven't they? Even like when Des Hasler's there, somehow Des just seemed to protect the players from that front office drama. Down at Narrabeen, guys, they're geographically separated too. There's about 100 metres between the two offices, so
yeah, sure.
They pretty much keep to themselves down there. So, but fortunately for Manly fans, they don't need to know what goes on behind the front door of the front office. All they care about is their football team, and they are humming along beautifully. And, of course, they can nail down a fourth spot again today if they can overcome the Dragons in Wollongong.
Yeah, big game. Now, what about the other news, other football news going on?
Yeah, there is some around. Stuart Adam Blair has been chased. Broncos prop, of course, extremely hard and extremely talented. We're hearing that the Warriors and the Dragons may be of interest to Blair, and also maybe now even the Sydney Roosters have spoken about the possibility of maybe having a dabble at Adam Blair.
Yeah.
So he will be a man in demand. Sandor Earl, of course, the man who now has the drug suspension, which has elapsed, he's now eyeing a potential comeback to rugby league. It had been reported that the Storm and the Dragons were interested. I'm now hearing that Parramatta may have a little interest in Sandor Earl. So still a good football player. Obviously, comes with a bit of baggage, but he's done his time. He's done his suspension, and he might look to come back to rugby league.
Yeah, that'd be good for him.
Yeah, that'd be a really, really nice story, wouldn't it be? Now, changes for today, Dean. The big game, as you mentioned, Dragons and Manly.
Yeah, that's the 2 o'clock game down there in Wollongong. Josh Dugan looks like he will be out of the Dragon side through injury. Jason Nightingale and or Kurt Mann will slip back there into the fullback spot. Now, I'm hearing Brenton Lawrence is out of the Manly side. So is Appy Corrissau. Cameron Cullen comes in as hooker. And I think you'll find Lloyd Perrott will come into the Manly side to cover for Brenton Lawrence. Jackson Hastings and or Lewis Brown may also do a little bit of dummy half work this afternoon. There's another big game, of course, 4 o'clock. That's the West Tigers and Parramatta at ANZ Stadium. I'm hearing Chris Lawrence and Joel Edwards, two forwards, will be missing from the West Tigers. I think you'll find Kyle Lovett will come in somewhere in the 17, and Michael Tecam, he may even start for the Tigers. Conversely, Parramatta had a nice, easy build-up, and they'll enter the game 1 through 17.
It's a big loss for Manly, those couple of players.
Yeah, Lawrence is going good. And Corrissau, he's just about the form booker in the competition, Stuart.
Yeah, well, we had Zorba on. He was talking about that earlier. And we had Adrian from,
Zamani, his New South Wales selection.
Yeah, but his name's been thrown around quite a bit.
How's your long run today, Stuart?
It's going good. Just charging in, just uphill into the wind, Dean. That's what I did so well.
How was things to chunk it, mate? Was it good?
I didn't go up, mate.
I saw you there.
Yeah, I was there for the sponsors day, just that one day, right. But then I left. I didn't go up for every camp like others.
But I'm working.
Oh, please. Please, the profits go through the roof. They run out of beer up there for you blokes. Good on you, Dino. You have a good weekend, bud.
I love you. See you, boys.
Speak soon. There he is. Dean Ritchie, rugby league writer for the Daily Telegraph and the Sunday Telegraph, and has his nose to the ground. Right, time for the quiz, the Z&Z quiz, the Z&Z watch of your choice, and we've got a couple of players on the line. I think I've got Nick.
And I've got Brett.
You there, Nick?
Hey, g'day, Stewie.
You ready to go, mate?
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right, here we go. Nick, you're up first. How many points did Jordan Kahu score in the Broncos' win over the Dogs on Thursday night? Was it 14, 16 or 18?
He got a try. That's four. So I'll go 14.
Champion, it was 18. That's right. We've got question two. Here we go. Come on, we've got to get one of these. We can't let Jared win. He's only going to have one crack at this. Here we go. Who missed the most tackles for the Bulldogs in the same game? Was it Josh Reynolds, Matt Frawley, or Moses Mbai?
Either Mbai or Reynolds, I'd say. He can't tackle Mbai. That'd be Mbai.
Matt Frawley.
Going good.
Oh, you're on fire here, Nick. Keep going. All right, go on. Question three. You've got to get this one. Which country will host next April's European Seniors Team Chess Championships? Is it Poland, Georgia, or Montenegro?
Oh, yeah. Great.
This is a quality question, this one. This is right at the top of the list.
So what is it? Chess competition?
Yeah, chess. Seniors too. Not.
Is Russia in there?
No, Poland, Georgia, and Montenegro.
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 Stewie?
Oh, go B.
Poland. All right, stay on the line there, Nick. We might have to get the tiebreaker question.
Who didn't know that? Goodness.
It's a ridiculous question.
All right, we got Brett. Brett, are you there?
Yeah, mate.
beautiful, mate. We've got Stewie. Well, we've got him, what, 9 down, facing Ambrose, needing 300 to win
new ball,
for the last
new
wicket.
New ball on the green wicket. Here we go.
Here we go. Question one. Who ran for the most metres for Brisbane in their win over the Dogs on Thursday night? Was it Cody Nikorima, James Roberts, or Tau Tau Monga?
James Roberts.
We'll get this.
Who writes these
just,
questions?
That was just a warm-up.
Keep going.
Okay, Brett. Who made the most runs for the Dogs in the same game? Was it David Clemmer, Will Hopewadi, or Denny Fualalo?
Denny Fualalo.
Okay. We'll get this, mate.
Oh, you blokes out.
Which country will host next April's World Mixed... Oh, gosh. World Mixed Doubles Curling Championships? You know that sport?
Yeah,
curling,
they rub the ice
Olympics there. One of the great TV watching events of all time.
Get up in the middle
of
the night
for Brett, that. Is it Switzerland, the Czech Republic, or Sweden?
Sweden.
Oh, he's come good. Right down the end. He's right down the end.
We
Brett.
Have a winner.
Brett, congratulations. Who's your teammate?
Thanks, Tigers, the Mighties.
The Mighty Tigers. All right, well, a watch of your choice. Stay on the line out there, Jeremy, or someone will get you out there and they'll get your details and out it will come to you, a watch with the Tigers logo, courtesy of the good people at ZNZ Jewellers there.
Well done, Brett. Can I read it? Can I ask you this? So the tiebreaker question was, what was the one-day international batting average of Stuart Clarke? Do you know all your own averages?
I didn't, but I'm looking at the answer.
Oh.
I don't know. I thought that was my test average, actually.
13.8, that's not too bad, considering you wouldn't have got much of a go there down the order,
mate,
in a one-day or a few overs here and there.
I think the word you're looking for is underrated, with the stick, is the word you're looking for. 13 53 53 is the open line number. If you want to get in contact with the